There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, let's do this. The Friday edition of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. Hey, y'all. Sean Sullivan, live local talk over the next 2 hours. You and I hanging out. Phone number 343-0106. Probably worth putting in the speed dial, too, even if you're not going to call today. Down the road, you may need that number. So in your contacts there, FM Talk 106.5, phone number 251-343-0106. Of course, also works on our text line. You can drop me a text anytime or over these next 2 hours. Give us a call, 251-343-0106. Everywhere from coal mines to fried chicken on today's show. All right, that's kind of the alpha and the omega. That is the range. Those are the bookends of today's program. But within it, a lot of places we're going to go. Jeff Poore is going to join us here shortly. We'll talk with him. Also, we'll talk to Stu from Sip and Chew. You hear here on Sunday mornings. He's going to talk some fried chicken with us coming up in the second hour. Plus, Dalton's back. We got 6.5 stories ready to roll for you in the second hour of the show. I do want to start off, though, with a couple of news and notes, and they are traffic and driving related news and notes. It's the news and notes segment of the show. We don't have one, but right now we're having one. Got a note here from the city, and the folks with ALDOT said the Bankhead Tunnel in downtown will get I'm quoting here, a vibrant makeover next week. Makeover! It's going to get a vibrant makeover next week. And I wonder if it's going to be, if they will pull the sheet over like the Bankhead Tunnel and do one of those shows. It's Makeover Monday on the tunnel. According to the post here from ALDOT on Twitter, they said, "We're happy to announce the Bankhead Tunnel is getting a makeover. Next Monday through Thursday, the tunnel will be closed from 9 p.m. through 4 a.m. for the rehabilitation and beautification of the exterior. Both portals will receive a paint job. What colors, you ask? Let's just say vibrant." Okay, with exclamation, vibrant. Now, when I think vibrant, I don't know about you, I think like Art Deco, like, you know, Miami South Beach Art Deco. I hope that doesn't happen. Because we're Mobile, we're not South, hey, it looks good. South Beach, that's their thing. Do their thing. We do the Mobile thing. We do us, they do them, right? When I hear, here's what I would like. Because the Bankhead, when the Wallace is clogged up, can become stressful. When you're trailering a boat, y'all not along with me, boat folks, when you're trailering a boat through the Bankhead and it's bouncing wildly behind your vehicle as you're towing through the Bankhead, that's not calming. Vibrant colors are not calming either. So I would suggest, ALDOT, if you're looking for a color scheme, let's calm things down. Actually, I have some audio here of how I would like the paint. This is what I would like to have going on from 9 in the evening to 4 in the morning next week when they're doing the paint job, okay?
Fan brush. There's one. Number 6 fan brush.
Number 6 color. Fan. Yeah.
Just put a little bit of color right on the brush.
Okay.
That's all there is to
something
it.
Calm.
Okay. Now maybe, let's see if that shows up. Might have to make it a little lighter to get it to show, so we'll add a little white.
Mm-hmm. That looks good.
Just a little touch of white.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a little better. Now that I'm just going to take and grab that and lift upward. I want to look like little trees, a little closer to us, but living very far away.
I like that.
Very far away.
Calming. Calming.
All you're doing is putting a little line of paint, and then you lift it upward.
ALDOT, are you listening?
Simpler. There. There, that's all there is to it.
All right, see, so that's just a little... That's what I would like to have going on in the tunnel. Not vibrant. When I think vibrant, I think neons, I think bright tropical colors, I think spray paint. When I'm in the tunnel, I don't want any of that. I want
We'll take the knife, a little bit of dark sienna and Van Dyke brown.
See, next to dark sienna and white. Van Dyke brown. The Aldot, listen, yeah, that's what you should be doing.
That's a nice color. I like
it. It is a nice color, Bob.
Just sort of play around with color till you get what you want. Our little roll of paint.
Mm-hmm.
And let's go right up in here. And with that, we'll just put the indication maybe like here, right there. See? I'm sorry, I get excited. I've painted like this for 20 years, and I still get excited when I see it work.
See, but even when Bob Ross gets excited, he got excited, fast chance. He doesn't sound vibrant, does he? So, Aldot, just a note here. Maybe take some clues from the genius that was Bob Ross. I think that episode is season 31, episode 1, Reflections of Calm. So, just a news note, okay? So there you go. There's my homage. There's my plea to Aldot when you say you're going to do vibrant colors on the bankhead. Please don't. Please do something calming. And then on the flip side here, let's talk motorcycles in the news. Okay, so we're keeping with a road-themed kind of deal. Don't know if you have been... Have you been passed by a motorcycle on I-10 or I-65 when you may or may not be doing a little bit more than the speed limit in your car, right? You're going along. And then you look in your rear view or your side view mirror and you see a dot miles back on the road, right? And by the time you look up and look in front of you and look back to check up, this happens. Boom, 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 and they're gone. They're that fast. They're by you. That, I mean, if you're going up 65, you're at the Moffett Road exit. And the next thing you know, those motorcycles are getting off in Stockton is how fast they're going. Listen to this. If you want to know how fast they're running out here, and I know people hit me up on the text line, probably told me, oh, I saw one running faster. I'm just saying this is a documented speed here. So the story from up in the Huntsville area on the, is it the 165? It's their spur off 65 there. We have a police report here, documented speed. All right, so this is not just coming up with it. Here it is. According to Alabama State Troopers in the Huntsville area on 1565, they clocked a motorcycle traveling 160 miles an hour. That would be a 1, that would be a 6, and that would be a 0. They have posted the picture. Alabama State Troopers put it on Twitter earlier with the caption, says, Troopers are out today in an effort to keep our roadways safe. And they stopped a motorcyclist hitting, actually, 161 miles an hour along I-565 in the Huntsville area. Please slow down, buckle up, and make it safely to and from your holiday destination. All right? But let me add this. I agree with the bumper stickers out there. You need to keep your head on a swivel for motorcycles. They have as much right to be on the road as we do. They are licensed vehicles, so we car and truck drivers got to do our part. But motorcycle folks, you got to do your part. First of all, when you go 161 miles an hour, no one's reflexes, except for, save maybe Chuck Norris, are fast enough to deal with that. And number two, when you make your own lanes going through traffic, when you cut between vehicles, giving 6 or 8 inches to the front tire, 6 or 8 inches to the back tire between the two vehicles, that's not the car's fault. That's not the truck's fault. Take that into account. Just because a vehicle can do 161 miles an hour doesn't mean you need to. All right? Just... Especially if you're driving through a vibrantly painted Bankhead tunnel. All right, that's how we start. You got that off my chest. I feel better. How about you? Feel good? All right, let's do this. Midday Mobile, Friday style. Jeff Poor joins us next. Y'all stay close.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:20, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Friday. During the news break, talking with my friend Jeff Poor. Jeff, you're saying that must be, everything must be done in the state road work wise, and that's why they got the free time to get a vibrant painting done on the Bankhead Tunnel.
Right, we've solved the state's, all the state's transportation problems from top to bottom, all the way from the shoals all the way to the Wiregrass. And now we can deploy the resources to the Bankhead Tunnel to make your experience a more pleasurable one.
And this, my argument is, if you are stuck in the Bankhead for some reason, the Wallace Tunnel's clogged up, or you're doing, you know, you're coming off the causeway and you're stuck in traffic, I don't want vibrant colors. I want calming, soothing. They ought to have some music playing in there, something to like chill us out.
You go to these airports sometimes and they do like crazy mood lighting with the tunnels that go under the airport. I'm thinking of like Detroit when you first go down into the go into the terminals. There's a big tunnel and it's got this music playing and these different color lights going. It's almost like something from an acid trip, circa 1972 or something.
It's what people don't need when they're going to get on an airplane. That's my take on it.
Right.
I want to talk about what's going on here in Alabama. One of the most underreported statewide stories, I think, has obviously its center in the Birmingham area, but has implications politically and where this, how far the tentacles may reach in this. It is the Drummond Cole trial. Oliver Robinson, former representative of the House of Alabama, and I kind of lay out what's going on with this Drummond Cole trial. What who are the players and what's alleged here?
So we'll start at the very beginning. Back in, they had these Superfund sites in North Birmingham. Where essentially, they're these old places where they took coal, they made steel, and they did all the things surrounding that. And you had, the leftover pollution from it, right?
Right.
And they were kind of abandoned, and then people walked away from them. But obviously the EPA recognizes them and calls, places like this, they're Superfund sites where they need to come in and clean up, and they're mandated by law, the responsible parties, to take care of it. So the EPA was looking at expanding some of the Superfund sites dealing with Drummond Coal, which goes back decades and decades. Drummond Coal's an old Birmingham company, and they were looking at expanding it, but part of the EPA's decision, how the EPA comes to this conclusion, is they lean on the local political structure. They lean on local politicians. They ask for their recommendations. And Drummond sees Oliver Robinson, who was the state rep at the time, and they all of a sudden are interested in working with him on things and are very interested in getting in his good graces because they think he has some sway with the EPA, right? So then that's where what we have going on here sort of comes into play. The company hired to do the work for Drummond, this Balch and Bingham law firm, they're kind of the fixers in this, and they're the ones that committed the alleged bribery. They go to Oliver Robinson and they write checks to his foundation. And this time passes, and then all of a sudden the FBI and the IRS start looking into this, start questioning this, and that's where you have these indictments, and that's what's being tried today.
Yeah, I see the quote here from yesterday where Oliver Robinson said, "I was bribed and I sold out my community." And I remember hearing this back, a year ago or so, this discussion that Oliver Robinson, I guess, went through his district and folks in his district and said, your yard's fine. You don't need to get up. Everything's right. Good here. There's no pollution here. I mean, I'm oversimplifying it, but I mean, that's kind of what they're saying he did, right, in exchange for the money.
Yeah, see, he acted as, he acted in a lobbyist in that way. He did do that. And this district stretched through parts of Tarrant, which is a kind of a suburb of Birmingham. And, there was problems with the drinking water. There were all these other issues. And they never, he was acting as if he was, it was strange because people, it didn't go unnoticed. And I think that's what got him and got the spotlight put onto him in that way.
It is so this, I mean, to me it seems transparent, I guess. But I, then again, I'm armchair quarterbacking here and looking in the rear view, that if you have this Superfund cleanup going on and you've got these questions about this pollution, then the representative who should be, if anything, right, telling his people, well, you know what, we better check everything to make sure you're safe. That same person is going, no, everything's okay here. Don't look, I mean,
right.
That should have stood out.
Right, a Democrat left of center politician not wanting to do the, you know, to go to the ends of the earth to take up some kind of environmental cause for his neighborhood. I think that's obviously going to raise red flags, even, you know, what's going on here. And that's essentially what happened. Why is this guy all of a sudden, you know, run kind of a toady for these alleged polluters?
Now, what, remind folks, too, they probably say, I remember hearing something about this, and the something about this came up during the special election for U.S. Senate, and there were allegations therein that then-Attorney General Luther Strange was in one of these meetings or something. Do you remember exactly what they said, how his relationship was with this?
Right, he was part of the contingent that was supposed to be, you know, having some sway with the EPA as to whether or not this was an issue they were going to pursue. And it also, he was very involved with the money side of it as well. So I don't know, though. I don't know that he's completely in the clear yet. That remains to be seen.
Okay, so... And so the big mules here, as we've been talking about big mules lately, and you lined them out, Drummond Cole and then Balch Bingham, which is the law firm, right? The fixer you told us about. Is it are there individuals or the law firm as a firm? Who all is named here?
There's two attorneys. There's obviously Oliver Robinson, but there's also two attorneys involved with the Balch Bingham law firm, Dave Gilbert and Steve McKinney. And they also named one of the vice president, Roberson, David Roberson, yeah.
Right.
And they named them as plaintiffs in this suit. I mean, defendants in this suit. So there's individuals actually named. Now Balch Bingham is one of Birmingham's biggest law firms, one of the state's biggest law firms, actually. I believe they also represent Alabama Power. So their tentacles are kind of in everything to do with the state's natural resources.
So, okay, so when you mentioned Alabama Power, we're going back to our discussion of the big mules that, at least through cash and influence bought by cash, in so many words, kind of run the show, right?
Yeah, I think so. This was done very sloppily, but traditionally.
I'm glad you said, I mean, because I keep thinking when I read stories like this, I go, well, you know what? I'm missing a piece of information. I'm missing, but it is sloppy as it gets.
It's almost so brazen to the point that, well, it's the good old boy network just kind of thinking, well, this is just how things are done. And as you know, it's that slippery slope. Well, we did it this way. Let's just not go. And let's just do, you know, it just gets progressively and progressively more obvious and brazen over time. And I think this was just to the point where that enough people noticed, and it drew the attention of the federal government.
Okay, so what you've got, Oliver Robinson. He is testifying. I mean, he's pretty damning things he's saying here. And let's say the decision comes, whenever the decision comes, what does it do? Does it throw? Does something like this throw attorneys from Balch Bingham in jail? Do they, or is it fines? Or I mean, what's at stake here?
I think jail time is certainly a possibility. At least when you kind of listen to the people who are a lot smarter about the law and understand what the implications are, they say that jail is a possibility. Now, I don't know which way this is going to go. The defense is saying that, you know, obviously Oliver Robinson's he's really the guilty party here. He took the plea deal with the federal government, and he's just going to say whatever they want him to say. And things really didn't go up, you know, things really weren't that bad. So I'm wondering how that defense will go in the end. But to me, that's kind of where we're at right now. But there are people that think that these attorneys could do some jail time at some point.
Yeah, we talk about the issues with corruption in Montgomery, and This is, you know, not a real corruption, or it just has the implication, has the taint of corruption. This, I mean, I want this story to get attention here in the state, because this is, even though it's at about a two-year-old's level, I mean, this is how it works, right? This is what people are hearing musings of out of Montgomery, and here y'all go. Here it is.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. It is strange, just the way the media in the state is, that there's not more attention given to it. I've noticed, I guess, the Birmingham TV stations do a pretty decent job, especially ABC 3340. AL.com, here's where they're messing up. I think that they have the right intentions, but the way they look at it is it's an opportunity to score political points. They have John Archibald and Kyle Whitmire. They're all stars at the trial. They have a reporter there that's just a straight reporter. But they look at this trial as a way to make Republicans look bad, or make the current party infrastructure look bad. Now, keep in mind, a Democratic representative is the one, you know, that's already pled guilty, and it has to do with trying to coerce better or worse, the EPA, we could say, is probably leads Democrat if you look at all the federal government more than anybody
in the past,
else.
Pruitt. I want to hold that thought. We'll come right back from the break and talk more about that. But this, y'all, this is a story, like Jeff just said, there's very few that are giving you the information, and a lot of them are looking, if they do, at some kind of angle on it. We're here to just give you this story and open your eyes to what's going on right here in Alabama.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, and Midday Mobile on this Friday. Heads up, our friends at Cottage Hill Package are still getting it done at Cottage Hill Package, corner of Hillcrest and Cottage Hill. They got, I think they were saying the other day, they're getting it like a new craft beer in daily for you to come by and try. You're talking about a selection that was already robust is now getting bustier. Come out and check them out. Get maybe a six-pack of a brand-new craft beer to check out over the weekend. And while you're there, too, if you've got, like me, I've got cigar fans that I give gifts to. I know, like, little to nothing about cigars. I'm not a smoker. But they can handle that. I go out there, and the tobacconist, Billy, can guide me through the humidor and show me what cigars are popular. You know, if they like this kind of cigar, that kind of cigar, maybe they'll like these others. It's really a great resource. And while you're there, great selection of wines, fine spirits as well. And remember, always cool events, too, going on in the back of Cottage Hill Package. They have the beer tastings where you can get the different stickers and swag from the folks and come out. And also another place to come out and interact with the Manis family as they're getting ready to open up Havana Ray's Cigar Shop and Lounge, corner of Airport and Morgan. It's named after the patriarch of the family, Ray Manis, who is not only a nice guy, but a fantastic cook. That's a plea, Ray. I need some arroz con pollo with a quickness. They're starting in the next probably 2 weeks or so, opening the doors of Havana Ray's Cigar Shop and Lounge, corner of Airport and Morgan. And same deal, great spirits, wine, beers, great cigars, and a new location to stop by and interact for downtowners and midtowners. Check out the main store online, cottagehillpackage.com, and find them on Facebook. All right, return to our conversation with our friend Jeff Poor. He's with Yellowhammer News, of course, Lanyap, Breitbart, and we're talking about to me, what has to be the biggest statewide story going on right now that is not being reported from the Shoals to the Wiregrass, from Southwest Alabama to Scottsboro. There's only a few groups out there, you know, looking at this, and people are on the text line saying, I didn't even know this was going on. This is why we're doing this. This is something people should pay attention to.
Right, and I think it's twofold that, it's a tough one to really understand. All this stuff is kind of done in the darker night, and it's stuff that impacts your utilities and how that connects to your utilities and why you should care, why it's just not a run-of-the-mill white-collar crime case. That's step A. And step B, I think, is part B. I mean, I think a lot of it is there's kind of fear out there. You don't want to make mad the wrong people,
right,
upset the wrong people. So a lot of media outlets are just choosing to avoid this one.
Well, either we're on the right path or foolhardy or both, because I think people need to be aware of this. And we were talking a bit about the angle here on reporting. And I mentioned, you mentioned EPA and I mentioned Pruitt, and that, you know, on a national level, that Pruitt story is being pursued by a lot of times reporters that are from the, not from the hard news side, or well, maybe that's not fair. They're not from the just the daily news reporting. They're specialty reporters, environmental issues and that kind of thing. The guys gives a bent to the national story about Pruitt. Here, statewide, it is interesting to me that you have a situation where you have the EPA as a player here. You have a Democrat, a former Democrat representative at play here, and this law firm. I mean, it puts people that have a liberal kind of political bent probably in a bad place reporting. They don't really know if they're going to be a champion of one side, which they shouldn't, but they quite often are. They're having probably a hard time picking their team.
Well, yeah, and I, you know, we could point to all the Democrats involved, but I think the idea is that it's a Republican power structure that allows all this to go on in
sure,
the state.
Sure, sure it is.
And it's a Republican power structure that's had the legislature since 2010 and the governorship on and off again since the 1980s that's allowed this to go on. And that's, I think that's accurate to some degree, that, you know, this isn't something new, these sort of shenanigans in Alabama, I wouldn't say politics, but just the way the state is run. So, but where they go wrong and they overreach is they're trying to make it a 2018 election issue and not, and make it Republican versus Democrat and not just we need to really take a hard look at this old sort of network of how the state is run from top to bottom. And that's no easy task. Now, don't get me wrong, because a lot of different players, a lot of different interests, but they're trying to make it more simplified and make it more of a red versus blue thing.
What about that? That structure you talk about, you know, the end of session in Montgomery, they're talking about all the things they're doing to deal with corruption. And then they come back and edit that the bill at the last minute. It's like the willpower is just not there, or the lure of the funding for your next campaign is too strong. I mean, it seems like there's a lot of lip service, but have we really changed? Have we got better?
Well, I don't even know that it's just the funding for campaign. I mean, we look at it and we say, well, there's got to be money involved. But it's not always that simple. It's, to me, it's probably like there's these parties, and they go to country clubs. They all, you know, their kids go to school together. And perhaps at one point or another, they're looking down the road of going into business with these people. That's where they're going to make their livelihood, do a few years in the state legislature, pay off a few favors. You have this sort of elite network in Alabama, and I think that's just how this all this sort of thing is born and bred, and it's been going on for a while. I mean, it probably goes on back to the turn of the century.
Yeah, it's interesting that with this runoff going on right now in these statewide races, they are very busy talking about things that go on in Washington and not so much things that go on in the state of Alabama. You wonder about that when just, you know, with the frame, with the backdrop of what you and I are just talking about, the Drummond Cole trial going on, the way things have been for so very, very long, and people that are wanting some of the top offices in the state are busy talking about, you know, who is the biggest friend of President Trump, or, you know, who is most conservative on issues that are really decided in Washington and not the state. Does that strike you as just more business as usual?
Yeah, and I think it's they have such a, or the consultants tell, are in their heads, are telling them that, well, yeah, you could go after all this sort of insider stuff, Montgomery, but who cares about that? People's eyes glaze over. They want the meat and potatoes. They want the Fox News or whatever Sean Hannity was talking about last night stuff. And they want Trump, 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 Trump. So, I, you know, part of me says they probably wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole, a lot of what's going on in Alabama and the way the, you know, we always hear career politicians, we always hear these ads. But then another part says, well, you could do that, but do you really think people are paying attention that much? And maybe they're not. But, you know, I think that's the that's where that leads them. It leads them to want to talk about national issues. It leads them to want to talk about not bringing immigrants to Baldwin County. It leads them to start talking about supporting Trump's policies. And that's just how this all kind of develops.
Hey, speaking of bringing immigrants to Baldwin County, your latest in Lanyap and the Beltway beat, all about that. We'll come right back with Jeff Poore. Get his take on the trip, the junket that was taken to Washington to plead the case of Baldwin County in front of government officials and the Alabama contingent up in Washington. We'll talk more with Jeff when we return right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1247, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. I'm glad to have you along on this Friday. By the way, Bay Bears in action tonight. 7:05 first pitch as they're taking on the Jumbo Shrimp. And by the way, my friend Tony from Penelope House, Tony Ann, came by. And we've got some of these rally towels are given away tonight. Remember, you can pledge $20 per strikeout. It's striking out domestic violence. And each one of your dollars stays right here at home to benefit the Penelope House right here in Mobile. So tonight, strike out domestic violence. You pledge $20 per strikeout. Or if you're scared that the pitching is going to be smoking good for the Bay Bears tonight, you can have a fixed amount and make that pledge as well. But you come out to the game tonight. More details at PenelopeHouse.org. And you can give a call to make your pledge as well, 342-2809. But $20 for each strikeout by a Bay Bears pitcher to help benefit Penelope House. And 7:05, first pitch tonight. All right, return to our conversation with Jeff Poore. And Jeff's latest story in Lanyap in the Beltway Beat has had a lot of emails coming in here, a lot of text message, people asking questions about this. And I'll put some backstory on it that I talked to Baldwin County Commissioner Chris Elliott. I talked to, I don't know, on air, Commissioner Tucker Dorsey, and did not talk to Sheriff Os Mack before they left for this trip to Washington. But the idea was, here we go, another run at these two airfields in Baldwin County to put illegal immigrants at, to house them in a tent city, and they were going to Washington to plead the case with the Department of Navy and HHS not to do this, right? I mean, that was what they were saying, but you have a little different bent on it in your latest Lanyap piece.
Right. So let's start at the very beginning. This came out in a Time magazine story like on a Friday night. Mm-hmm. And when I read it, you know, I'd seen it, you know, a lot of people tweeted about it. But when I read it, I thought, well, they're just repurposing the old list, right?
Like from 2016.
They're just going off old information that this is something that hadn't been updated under this, you know, the new regime at the Defense Department at the Pentagon. And they're just, you know, kind of, maybe it's still out there, maybe it's still a possibility in some memos, but I can't see it as being serious because they didn't consider, you know, they reconsidered on putting these migrant children out there at these airfields.
Okay, so when this happened in 2016, there was a petition, you know, to the then people underneath the Obama administration not to do this for the reasons that were lined out this time, whether it be, you know, the danger from hurricanes, infrastructure issues, the number of people need to be there, all those different things, and, you know, the evacuation if there happened to be a hurricane. So, but I got to say that they came back and did the same thing again. 2016, the message goes up there, and okay, we avoided that one. But back to 2018, when they go to look for properties, they're once again talking about Baldwin County and these two, you know, abandoned, maybe not the right word, but lightly used airfields there in South Baldwin County.
How serious were they, though? Do we know that they were actually...
That.
And I'm skeptical that the high idea that this was a serious proposal, that this wasn't something Bradley Byrne, as a congressman, a sitting member of Congress, couldn't have called somebody at the Pentagon and taken care of right away, that it required this delegation to go up there and position themselves as champions of this cause especially in the middle of an election, in the middle of a runoff election, where you know the odds are kind of long for, I think, at least Tucker Dorsey. But to do this in that way, it reeks of political opportunism.
And so your theory here, and people read through this in the Beltway Beat, in the latest Lanyap, your theory is there wasn't a real danger of those migrants ever being, those legal immigrants ever being moved to Baldwin County. I'm going to ask you, I'm not going to tell you what you think. Do you believe that they knew that those illegal immigrants wouldn't end up in Baldwin County, but they went anyways to Washington?
Yeah, I do. Okay. I don't think it was serious enough of a threat that warranted the pandemonium that ensued.
And so it was something that would be seen as, what, that your government officials are working for you. Look at this. We're going to, you know, it's not going. They know it's not going to come, so they go do something and then they come back successful, even though they didn't have to go.
Well, not even that. We need an issue. We need an issue to get people enthusiastic and interested in this low turnout event, which is going to be very low turnout with nothing at the top of the ticket, given the governor's race on the Republican side is settled. We need Republican voters to care about this. Well, let's find a button to push. We need a hot button issue. And this Time Magazine story comes out, and it's delivered on a platter. And we did pretty well with it 2 years ago. We were popular for it. Let's see if we can't, you know, repeat, just even if we can repeat a modicum of that magic in this election, it can boost our chances.
Okay. But let me play the other side of this for a second here. If they had not gone, all right, and say the situation ends up where you have these illegal immigrants move, which I don't understand why you would ever want to move people from the Texas border up to Alabama to move them back to have their day in front of a judge. But nevertheless, if they would have ended up here in Alabama and, you know, your Baldwin County Commission hadn't gone up, wouldn't they be getting pilloried for that? I mean, isn't there a danger of saying...
No, we have two sitting senators and a congressman that are responsible for those issues. Now, I wouldn't have a problem with them speaking out against it, but does it require a trip to Washington, D.C. to go do photo ops, you know, in Bradley Byrne's office or with Senator Shelby? I'm not sure that that's the case, and I don't think they would be being pilloried for it. If that were the case, then there's a lot of other politicians that need to be on their way to Washington, D.C. as well in Baldwin County besides these three individuals.
Yeah, but did we ask those questions when you had, you know, that the contingent go up in 2006, or I mean 2016, you know, during the Obama
2016,
event.
In 2016, it was probably more, there was more of a chance of this happening. You know, there were a lot more unknowns, and we were dealing with this different set of facts. But even then, you questioned how much of a local delegation you need up there to really move the needle on this. I would still maintain that the two senators, Jeff Sessions and Richard Shelby at the time, and Bradley Byrne would have been sufficient.
Okay, and so the idea here is that it was not necessary to make this happen. All right, well, the full story in the latest Lanyap, also you can go to lanyapmobile.com. And what do we have to watch? What are you watching between now and the 17th? Any movement here in the lieutenant governor's race? You seeing anything, any split between Kavanaugh and Ainsworth?
Not really. What I would keep an eye on is AG's race, just how...
Yeah, I was going to get to that, but
yeah. The back to the lieutenant governor's race. There, you see some of these ads from Twinkle Kavanaugh kind of questioning Will Ainsworth's past and what he had, you know, some of the his youthful indiscretions. To be going to that well, I think at least suggests to me that they're having to go dirty, at least a little bit dirty, to go after Ainsworth and make him out to be this sort of hooligan. That tells me that if they're willing to do that, then maybe Kavanaugh is looking at this as a little closer race than she anticipates.
Okay, so there is a tell there to you that there's some internal polling that has this tighter than she likes.
Yeah, I think so. And I've said this all along. Ainsworth started out as a long shot, but he's been trending up the whole time. Twinkle Kavanaugh, she hit her ceiling on day one, I think. It was her race to lose, and she just had to do the best job at kind of keeping it together. But with these people kind of, you know, even with Rusty Glover at the time, her support eroded. And I think you look at it now, you want to look at who's trending up and who's trending down, and she's trending down and he's trending up, and she's needing to kind of reverse that.
All right, AG side, let's talk about this. What do you see? I mean, do you see an incumbent that is... I don't want to paint this picture and make it seem like it's an incumbent that's going to get the votes he got before, and I have a feeling that people with what he's gone through who were maybe undecided may lean more towards Steve Marshall with the tragedy versus going away from him, or is that not true?
I think that's true. I think that's the fear from the Troy King folks. What I would tell your listeners to do is keep an eye on the Alabama Political Reporter with its deep ties to Troy King and the whole, like, the old Milton McGregor infrastructure and the gambling. And the more desperate things get, I think the lower they'll go. I think they know that they're probably in trouble, that a lot of people will just vote for Steve Marshall, as you say, and they need to try to figure out how to at least kind of reverse that trade and get some momentum at their, you know, on their side.
All right. Jeff, people want to reach out, find you on what, Twitter's probably best?
It's twitter.com/Jeff_poor.
All right. Get you back in town very, very soon. Jeff, thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. 1258 FM Talk 106.5. Up against the news break here. Come back. Look here. We will get Chris Elliott is going to hop on. Baldwin County Commissioner Chris Elliott hop on with us, wants to respond to what we're just talking about with Jeff, and we will do that when we come back. Plus 6.5 stories with Dalton Orwig coming up next hour. It is a, Dalton, I don't want to say I peeked in your office when I went in there to pick up the Bay Bears tickets, but looks like a pretty good stack. Pretty good stack of stories heading our way. So we'll get to those coming up in just a few right here on Midday Mobile. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah.